Welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 436 for April 6, 2013. Kinesto Community. Well, hi, and welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, yeah, I had a little hiatus, let's say, last weekend. It's been a kind of a crazy couple of weeks, and things have been really sucking my time up, and it's been very difficult to get the time to put, you know, put in some research. Because obviously, you know, a lot of the show topics that I talk about, I have hands-on experience with. I usually don't look into or talk about tools that I haven't had some extensive time with, and especially for new services. And Kinesto is something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It actually kind of came on my radar, I would say, a couple months coming up to the SOLIDWORKS 2012 in San Diego. And, you know, it was something of interest. They were kind of being a little bit cagey about it. There was a white paper that had come out saying that this thing was happening, and they were making this kind of PLM or slash workflow automation type of thing that was going to be completely hosted, and it was, you know, kind of driven by Mike Payne. And for those of you that have never heard Mike Payne's name, he's quite the pioneer in the CAD industry. He's obviously behind ProE and SolidWorks and Space Claim, and you know, so he has a lot of experience in this kind of industry, and you know, he was CEOing this company, and it was going to be a startup, and they were going to really take advantage of the cloud, and so there was a lot of excitement around it. But coming up to SolidWorks World 2012, they had a booth at SolidWorks World, and many of us, you know, slid over and met a couple of people. I know some of the people, you know, that were behind some of the efforts were at other companies that I had seen before. So there were some familiar faces, and they were excited about the technology. So there's a lot of buzz around this tool. But, you know, it seemed to be in somewhat of a closed beta, and there wasn't a lot of response, and the beta program was taking a little bit longer, and you know, many of us really just didn't get access to it. So there was a lot of unknown, and it kind of fell off my radar. And right around the beginning of the year, there was some news that they had kind of shifted, and they were kind of building upon the whole hosted workflow thing. But instead of being very, you know, more complex in like a lot of background programming, a lot of times when I do implementations of enterprise, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing on the back end to add automation, but the user really doesn't just do that. You know, it's usually done for them. You kind of set it and forget it, and you're in there doing, you know, automation tasks. And there's a lot of programming and a lot of, you know, kind of laborious tasks of actually setting up the automation, and then you just kind of let it run. So there was some shift in the way that they were kind of approaching this kind of workflow automation functionality, but they were also trying to incorporate a lot more of the things that we've talked about on the show on, you know, services like Team Platform and Sunglass, and a lot of these where there's a collaboration and kind of project management angle to it. And so there was a lot of new features that I don't remember really seeing when I originally saw it. And the other thing was that because it was locked down, they had also turned around and made a freemium model. So you can actually get in there and you can try it out and you can sign up. And, you know, they had some models. So what I thought we could do is talk a little bit about Kinesto, what actually it is, some of the functions in it, and, you know, just overall kind of the way that you could use it. I would say I'm nowhere close to an expert, but I probably spent, I would say, 2 or 3 hours just really digging in and trying to figure out all the facets of things that I can get my hands on and just kind of share my experiences with it and, you know, maybe even just get you to try it out and see if it fits any or fixes or helps in any type of the product development things that you're working on. So let's take a look at Kinesto Community. So as I mentioned in the start of the show, you know, I'd been aware of this tool for quite a while, but it was kind of interesting because, you know, one of the other contributors to me not shipping a show last week, and was frankly, it was just a busy week, but I didn't have enough time to pour into really trying to figure out what they had done. But in searching about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, in searching for a topic for the show, you know, this kind of popped up back on my radar. I remember looking through my notes and trying to figure out what exactly I had seen before. And so I go to Kinesto's site, and the first thing that keyed me off was that there's something that said join free today. So I started to look back through it. And apparently, back at the beginning of the year, Kinesto had actually brought on Steve Bodner, who used to work for Autodesk, and he's basically heading up all their product and marketing, you know, side of the business. And there was some kind of reorganization of what they wanted to do with this. What the first thing that's obviously a major departure is that there's a freemium model. There's a couple of quotes I was reading from Mike Payne talking about, you know, we really want to get users using this. We want to get more people kind of experiencing and automating their processes and not making it something that's very hard, and trying to figure out a pricing model was a big kind of challenge for really any startup. But, you know, the web is really kind of leaning toward a lot more freemium models. So it was kind of interesting to see that. So, of course, the first thing I do is I log in and try and get in and kind of get a feel of what exactly, you know, there is to play with. The Kinesto website is talking a lot about it. And actually, if you want to get a good synopsis, they talk a little bit about what it is. In fact, one of the links, it says, you know, what is Kinesto? And it talks a little bit about the fact that, you know, it's built upon this whole thing that Kinesto started with, which is basically, you know, workflow automation. But it says it's actually a cloud-based social business collaboration solution. And it talks about a little bit of being able to have one system that allows you to do group discussions, file and content sharing, team collaboration, project organization, task management, and then the social workflow enabled. They call it the social enablement. But really, it's about adding that kind of workflow layer and being able to notify and collaborate with people with tasks and documents and a whole slew of things. The workflow was really the thing that always caught my eye when I first heard about it, and is actually a thing that I continually remember when I was at SolidWorks World 2 years ago about it, was just, you know, having a graphical workflow to kind of explain the process and notifying people and having something that's tracking the procedure. You know, a lot of project managements, yeah, you can make dependent tasks and things like that, but having something in somewhat of a workflow that you can visually see, everyone can kind of visually see where they are in the process and how much further there is to go. I mean, we can argue that Gantt charts do that as well, and, you know, obviously we talked about team platform adding some of these functions, but what's really nice is you can do some workflow things that just graphically look a lot easier. For example, if you're doing something that's more of a series of tasks, that's one thing. You know, go from task to task to task. It's pretty easy to make that. But what if you have something where two things happen at once, or a parallel type of decision tree? You can actually graphically set that up and then be able to have people working on two things in order for it to actually progress through a workflow. So it isn't very interesting. It's a very interesting approach to handling some of these challenges that processes typically have. So the first thing that I was also curious about was, what is the deal about the costs? Because really, I was wondering, you know, now that they have this free version, what's the big deal? So you can go to their pricing page. They do talk about it, the monthly cost, max users, max usage, and infrastructure. The community version, which is what mainly I'm going to talk about today, is that it's free. So that's obviously really nice. Max users is basically, it's just you. You're an individual. And it is, you know, amongst the community. So although it's also free, you're kind of a public thing. Not that everyone can see your stuff, but you're part of a public place that, you know, you do have the ability to invite anyone publicly, but it's a little bit, you know, kind of differently structured. And obviously for usage, it talks about 5,000 items, and that can be anything: files, tasks, workflows, etc. You can have 5,000 things inside of your login. And the infrastructure is a single community. So that's kind of the big piece, is that you're part of this kind of big global community. The business plans get structured, again, based on these kind of three criteria: max users, max usage, as well as infrastructure. So infrastructure means that you can have multi-tenant, which means that you can obviously pick specific people. And then they talk about storage. So 50 gigs, 300 gigs, 3 terabytes, 10 terabytes plus. And then they also talk about max users, 10, 50, 350, and 1,000 plus. And the prices are basically broke down either at a fixed rate for the fixed number of users and storage. So for example, you can do for 10 users is $250 a month, 50 users is $1,000 a month, 350 users is $5,000 a month, and then 10 or 1,000 plus users is $10 per month per user. So it's about 10 grand. So you can kind of get the feel of the pricing structure. A lot of these typically do it. They have to look at how many connections do they have to support, how much storage do they have to support, and there's some, more complexity to that. But the pricing seems to be pretty valid considering what it's possible to do. I don't know how well the service actually performs under load. I have no idea how many users they have or anything like that. But the whole back end of their system is powered by Amazon Web Services. So obviously they've made a partner in someone who knows a little bit about the cloud, knows a little bit about scale, and so that side of it is somewhat comforting. So that's a good thing. So I really want to just kind of jump in and talk a little bit about what exactly Kinesto is. All right. Well, once you log in, you'll notice at the very top right, you're going to have your typical layout. I mean, and the layout of the site is pretty intuitive. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You have your kind of user login area where you can pull down and go to your preferences. There's some interesting preferences. Obviously, you have profile picture, passwords, things like that. You also have notification methods where you can be, control the frequency of it, if it happens at all or not, if you want to be notified by email or SMS. And then also what you get notified on. So they do have some nice granular controls that you can kind of control how you're notified. But when you first log in, you kind of get to a home screen, and you'll notice that almost every time, wherever you are within the interface, you always have kind of little comments section where you can control kind of little discussions on the side panel. So it's really kind of nice to be able to see that there is kind of a discussion area where you can see things come in. You can see if anything's new or you haven't read it. Inside of each of them, they actually have a threaded discussion where you can discuss things further. And you can attach things to those discussions, but it is kind of a roll-up or conversation about certain areas of your area inside of Kinesto. But when you're on the home tab, you basically have people, discussions, documents, and then workspaces, tasks, workflows, and form and data. And so it kind of breaks it down for you, and you just start kind of thinking about, okay, well, what exactly is this? So if we start in the first kind of segment of people, obviously you can put people in here, you can add contents. I'm pretty sure that if you have a paid version, you can have kind of your specific list of 10 users that you utilize in here. But right now, I mean, I can add contacts and put all information that I want to in here and associate them within here. So if you're part of the free version, right, you can put in your information and assign them tasks, and they'll get emails and things like that. So it kind of reminds me a little bit about like Vooch, where you were constantly kind of communicated with via email. Email was kind of your primary way of being notified. I would say that's probably pretty common. Most systems, that's how you're notified. But now you do have the ability to import contacts from Yahoo or Google. And then, obviously you can manually add them, and you can export them out, using some type of Excel sheet. So it's kind of nice to be able to put people in. But this is where you're actually going to assign your own contacts. You also have community contacts where you can grab them from the vast, I guess right now there's only 80 people in here, but you can pick anybody in here and add them in community contacts, and then you can also create groups that get notified as well. And I'm assuming it's probably very similar to like a distro group. So you add people to it. It goes out and, sends them notifications and lets them know what's happening within the system. Now, the next one over is documents. And documents looks like a very common kind of file browser, right, where you can do uploads, attach documents, add links, things like that. You can create folders and organize things. You have the ability to view, which this is kind of an interesting thing, and I don't remember really seeing too much on this when I saw the product the first time. But it does have a pretty decent, it has a 2D viewer, which allows you to view pretty much most document types. And they also have a 3D viewer, which actually takes advantage. It looks like it's called Kinesto 3D Viewer powered by Hoops Communicator. So it's a kind of an open standard type of viewer. But the viewer looks pretty good. It didn't require me to install anything. I'm assuming it's using some type of WebGL functionality. And what's interesting about it is it seems to do very well. I mean, it seems to be pretty fluid. There's a little model browser kind of tree where you can see the file. It looks like it's also pulling in configurations. I just uploaded a SolidWorks model and can see some things within here as well. And you also have views and notes and measurements at the very bottom of the 3D viewer. You've got all your view kind of front, back, right, all your isometric views. You have a home, you have shaded with edges, you've got perspective views. And you also have your other commons. Like I said, you can put notes on the model where you can like put pins in and type in notes. You can do measurements. You can measure angles between faces and things like that. They also have a section tool, and they also have an explode for assembly. So I wasn't able to get some stuff to work up here. It seems to be kind of hit or miss. SolidWorks files seems to work better on newer files. If you just try and grab like an older SolidWorks file, it kind of throws up at it, doesn't like it. But you can take screen caps of the of whatever you're viewing and download them. So the 3D viewer is actually a surprise because I didn't realize that they had one of these up here, and it's actually pretty decent. I don't really know what it does for and what the best way of uploading something like a referenced assembly would be, but it seems to do pretty well. I'm actually going to do a little bit more testing, see if, like, let's say you take an assembly and you you know, save it as an STL or not STL, a step file or a parasolid or something like that. If that does the exploded, I'm not really sure what the exploded functionality will do, and what file types it's actually aware of. But it looks like for the most part, it says it in the very upper right, you can kind of hover, and it says this application allows you to interact with 3D data directly in your browser. No need to install any software, which I think is huge. I think that's key. And they talk about how to orbit and pan and zoom and things like that. So it actually does a pretty good job. I'm pretty impressed with it. And like I said, 2D, the 2D viewer works really well, and you can see quite a bit in there. You know, and you can go in and rotate and, you know, be able to kind of triage the model as you expect. And again, like I said, you can pretty much view most documentation up here. You can share documents from here as well. So you can pick people that you want to share it with. You can add users or groups and then specify if it's view or download or whatever they, you know, whatever you actually want to be able to give them. So that's kind of a nice feature. You can do that all from the documents area. Now, this to this point, you know, most of it is pretty straightforward. You've probably seen other services that do, you know, some of this stuff. But then if we kind of slide over one more, we get into tasks. And tasks, again, are very similar to most tasks that you would expect. You know, you can add tasks. They actually assign a lot of numbers in here, which is kind of nice. So the task will have a task number. You can pick assignees, when it's due, you know, all the stuff you would expect. But then within the task list, you can then associate things like documents, links, reference lists. You can put in forms. And it keeps track of all the history. So as you do things within the system, you know, you can track history and see what's actually happening. And that's kind of a nice feature because you do have that kind of track and traceability. But what's nice too is that you can also look at, you know, you can kind of filter these out. You can look for tasks that are assigned directly to me, assigned with me. So if somebody else is working with me on it, you can look for those specifically or completed tasks. So this is kind of pretty cool. You can change the owner of the task. You can, you know, cancel the task or assign it to somebody else. You can also share it with somebody else. So there's a lot of functions that are kind of, again, very much kind of workflow functionality you would expect. But, you know, to this point, we're really just assigning tasks and doing them. So this is really where it starts to differentiate a little bit. When we click on the next tab over, this is workflows. And workflows are an interesting aspect of this. I played with this a little bit, trying to kind of really figure out the way I would use this. But what's interesting about workflows is that it comes up and it actually has a little workflow. I mean, for those of you that have ever seen Enterprise PDM or any type of workflow tool that has graphical workflow layout, you essentially get a flowchart. And usually there's a start and a finish task. You know, so it almost reminds me a little bit of like DriveWorks, where you have, again, kind of the specification flow. You have a start and a finish, right? And then off of that, there's kind of this interesting kind of hover. You click on the different tasks and you can add different functions to it. But what was really kind of caught my eye is that you basically create the workflow. And then off the workflow, you can then create tasks. So tasks and workflow are very similar. But if you think about doing tasks, it's like, is it done or not? And there's really no kind of lineage of what's next. Workflow kind of ties tasks together. And it allows you to actually have tasks that are dependent on one another. But But very similar to the way we talked about, like Team Platform does this very well. You have tasks, it does Gantt charts, so you have tasks that are dependent on tasks, and that kind of stuff is really important when you're doing project management. The thing that I think is very interesting about workflow is it allows you to kind of put this graphical layer on top of your tasks, and then allows you to do things that is a little bit harder to do, or at least visually harder to understand, like things like parallel tasks. So let's say we have an instance where we're coming up with a concept, and we got three or four people that are involved, and you're assigning something, and we're all going to meet in the middle. Well, if I'm going to be working on, let's say I'm going to do... I'm going to do all the foundation and frame of whatever I'm designing, and then someone else is going to build some electrical panels, and we come up with some kind of standard things we're going to stick to as far as size and shape and whatever, and we can go off and do those tasks. And what this can do is I can assign those tasks in parallel, and once we're all completed, we can move to the next task. So it's kind of a nice way of structuring tasks to fit your kind of flow of how you're going to actually perform a procedure, without making it really difficult. And this is another thing that's kind of interesting, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, is that when we usually do like an implementation of any type of PDM tool, one of the things that usually comes up is we're going to build a workflow that people are going to be governed by, and they're always going to be governed by it. But projects change, and nothing is ever totally static. You can build workflows in Kinesto and save them as templates and reuse them a lot. So if you have things that are happening all the time, it's very easy to utilize those. But what if you have something that you've never built before, and the procedure has to kind of be modified on the go? This was something I thought was kind of interesting, is that I can get to a task, and I can go into the workflow, and I can say, I'm done with this task. Now I want to add another task, a next task. And it allows me to kind of build and modify and change the workflow as I'm going through the procedure. So I hear this a lot when I implement PDM, is people say, and I'll say, well, what's your procedure from, let's say, concept to released? Or, you know, what do you want enterprise to govern? What part of the design process do you want to govern with it? And they'll look at me and be like, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of hoping you would give us some pointers. And so this actually allows you to kind of put a workflow in place. And then based on how you work and what tasks you generate, you can kind of sit there and watch the workflow grow as you're using it, and kind of, you almost want to say you're kind of winging it, but you're building tasks that make sense at the time. And then you'll have this workflow that you'll see the start to finish and how you actually got through it. And then you could save that as a template and use it again and again for projects that are similar. So it's kind of interesting. I played with it a lot. I actually created one where I had something where I had like... I had models and drawings being created for a design, and they were parallel tasks, and I had to complete them both before I could finish it. And when you click on the task, when you're actually in the task, you have just buttons that say complete. Now, if any of these are assigned to people, they get notified that, hey, the task that you were assigned and you were waiting on me, well, I'm done. And so they'll get notified, they can go in and do their task, and they can actually complete the task on the go. So if they get an email, I noticed I could click on a link, and I could actually complete the task right from my phone. You know, maybe I already worked on it or something like that. It allows you to communicate, keep people in the loop as they are needed. So it is an interesting, it's kind of nifty that way. I really think it's kind of a neat function. I didn't really get into too much about really understanding like the participants and if they can skip tasks, because you have these abilities to go in and create a task, give instructions, and in fact, you can click on right in the graphical workflow and actually say, show me the instructions for this task, and it'll give you all the information. I know a lot of them will do that, like you'll do a task and it'll have a memo field or something, but it's just kind of interesting. Like this is, you can tell some of this is actually built off of people who have been in the industry and have had to follow procedures. And these are the things that you ask, like, what are the instructions? Yeah, okay, build models for what? You know, that type of kind of vernacular can be built into, you know, the way that the menus are created and things like that. So you can get instructions, you can obviously complete, you can compose the next task, you can skip tasks, you can look at details, and you can also view the task page. So if you go to the page on a specific task in a workflow, it's going to show you everything about it. And that task can have things like documents and links and lists and forms and other things that you want to incorporate. And remember, every time, no matter where you are, you always have this conversation panel that's on this right-hand side of the screen. So that's kind of adding that layer of communication. If I'm working on a task with two people, You know, when they go into the task, they're going to see the conversation. So it kind of keeps everybody on the same page, and overall it's kind of impressive. Now, there was a couple other things that I thought were interesting as well. Workflows and tasks, I would say my best recommendation for you to kind of get it, because obviously an audio podcast and something that's pretty visual is pretty hard, but it's free. Sign up, start tinkering with it. I think it's actually pretty interesting what you can do. The rest of the stuff that's in here, you have a discussion area, and discussions, again, are more like threaded conversations. I created one in here called Podcast Topics, and I started kind of replying to myself just to see. And again, there are threaded discussions. I noticed a couple of things that were a little bit tough. One of the things was back in workflows, I couldn't delete workflows. Couldn't figure out if there was a way to delete. I kind of drilled into everything trying to figure out, do I have to edit it or change it or what? There was no way to just delete it. If I mess up a workflow, I just want to get rid of it. Didn't seem very clear on how to get rid of it. But a lot of things have the trash can icon and stuff like that, so you can get rid of stuff. But in the discussions, which are nice, I didn't see a really good way of being able to maybe get rid of a specific comment. But it does allow you to do kind of a nice threaded discussion. You have to be careful, though, because you can type, and then you hit enter, and it actually closes that comment, and you can't really get back in and change it. So I thought that was, there are a couple little things like that seems to be, need a little work. But again, it's another place where you can have a conversation about something and get everyone's feedback in one place. You also can add contents or contacts right in the right-hand side as well. So again, you could have kind of a pretty dynamic conversation going on right from within the discussion pane. Now, the last three areas are pretty interesting. You do have this data tab, and data tab allows you to create basically lists of stuff. So if you want to make like part lists or attach lists or anything like that, in fact, I went into one and created a list, and then the list can have items and you can specify where they're used. And so it's a nice way of kind of doing bill of materials type of information for what I can gather. And so that's actually pretty good. You know, being able to put in documents and stuff that are associated with the list is also a nice feature. Now, when you think about anything, and this is a common need, is when you have all this going on, you have tasks and people completing things and how long it takes tasks, you think about the whole metrics layer. And that's, again, a very important part of PLM is metrics. And with something like this, you still want to get that information. You know, what's your throughput? You know, do I have any bottlenecks in my process? How long is it taking to complete certain things within my process? So one of the tabs that's kind of cool is that you can go to reports. And it looks like there's about four reports up here that you can build, but you can do tasks by users, workflow throughput, workflows by time, and workflow steps by time. So you can really look at a workflow that may be very common and see how long it's taking at the steps and what the averages are. And so it is kind of interesting to go up there and build reports off of how your workflows are performing and maybe give you some insight of kind of performance tuning. And the last area that they have in here is called library. And library seems to be kind of the area where you can create all your form templates. And so you can actually create a form template. It actually creates or has its own kind of WYSIWYG editor. And you can go in there and build your forms and do a number of things in here. I didn't really play with this that much. It looks like you can put some text fields and some text areas and a number of different selection sets and checkboxes. And you can build your forms right within here and then utilize those throughout the area to gather information. So if you think about something like an ECO form or anything like that, you could build those up here and then be able to associate those, have people key in and enter that data. You know, this is also a very common thing that I hear about is that, an ECO process is completely different than from the CAD process. You know, you may govern a revision scheme to govern CAD data is going to be a completely different workflow for something like an ECO. So this allows you to basically build those templates and be able to put this information up there and gather it as a pure electronic document, which is, it looks pretty cool. And you can build a number of these in the library and utilize them. So that's really kind of the rundown. I mean, it's tough because one of these, even though that they've kind of broken down the barriers a little bit on the complexity and difficulty when you're talking about doing, any type of workflow management tools that you always think there's either a lot of programming, there's a lot of laborious, steps that you have to go through, and you're going to go through all this pain to build them. And then they're always constantly having to be tweaked, and there's only one person who knows how to do it. And, all the things that come with it, with any type of business tool like this, it always seems to kind of deter people or give them a little bit of fear. I think that this tool still has that a little bit to it, just because you can really do quite a bit. It's a little bit more freeform though, so you don't have to follow, these like real stringent steps. You can kind of go at it as you need to, but there are a lot of facets. Everywhere you go, you can attach a document or invite a person or add a task or put a workflow so it's highly customizable. And I think that sometimes can make it a little overwhelming for someone who may not know it. But you break down a lot of the barriers of overwhelming when you make it free. People get a lot more freaked out when they have to put some cash down to test it. But I would definitely recommend, if you're managing a project right now, maybe you have a lot of people in or outside of your company and you want to try and keep everyone on the same page. Maybe you got a lot of people that are mobile, working from home, working from all around the country or the world. This may be the thing that you centralize. Now we get rid of VPNs. We don't have to do any of that garbage. We can get everyone in there. We can secure access. We can notify when needed. And, maybe it can kind of bridge the gap to some of those communication challenges that happen, especially with remote teams. So I would definitely check it out. I'm glad to see some of the things with Kinesto moving along. I think the design of the site is decent. I wouldn't call it the best web app I've ever seen, but it's organized very well. It could probably use some little user interface tweaks to make it a little bit more modern, but I think that for the most part, I'd like to see some more drag and drop interfaces and a little bit more kind of freeform functionality instead of it being every time I want to edit or change, I have to click a link. There's no in-place editing or anything like that. So there's some things that I think could be done to improve the experience of it. But the thing I really love about it is that, again, you can do everything in here on any browser. In fact, I did most of my testing on a Mac running Chrome, and I had no problems. I was able to pull up almost every single site without any issues on most of the mobile devices I've got. And so I was impressed by the fact that it's truly sticking to the guns of being a cloud-based tool. There's no add-ins or plugins or anything like that. You don't go to the site and it says, you need to be using Internet Explorer. You have to use Firefox, 6 or something ridiculous that's not even on the market anymore. So it's good to see that it's a new app and it seems to be very snappy. I didn't really have to wait for much. And most of the functionality seems to be fairly intuitive. So like I said, little tweaks here and there probably would make the experience awesome. But so far, it's a hugely powerful tool, and the notification and workflow stuff is pretty unique. So again, I would recommend going up there. It's free. Check it out. Push on it. See if it's going to do something that you like. And I do apologize for skipping last weekend. Like I said, I've been doing this show now for 7 or 8. I think this is my 8th year. I don't even remember now. But it can get pretty challenging to hit every single week, and I have no plans on skipping anymore, but I'm really just trying to make sure that the quality is there. If I don't have the time to dig in a tool, I'm not just going to throw something up there. So, I appreciate your patience in waiting for the show, and hopefully you found this interesting and we'll dig in and maybe solve a problem for you. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit up the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd.com. Don't forget to visit the Herd at herd.solidworksherd.com and register for an account. You can follow me there or on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.didcad.com. Music was provided by 21 Against by means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.